visiting with us. We are in the middle of a series, Who is My Neighbor? And if you happen to have missed any of the messages in this series, you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com and you can watch those messages. We'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now. Well, where did we leave off last week? Well, we're in the book of Jonah, and we're talking about how Jonah refused to go talk to his neighbors, essentially the Ninevites, about the Lord. Why did he do this? Because the Ninevites were Israel's enemies, and so he couldn't stand them. We said earlier in this series that to ask a Jew to do this would be like asking a Jew to go during Hitler's regime to Berlin and to tell the Nazis unless they repented, God would destroy them. And I think the answer would be, no, thank you. I hope they all die and go to hell. That might have been what they said or what they felt in their heart. And so Jonah didn't want to tell them about the Lord. And odds are, when it comes to sharing our faith with our friends or family or neighbors, we do sometimes what Jonah did. Why do we do this? Why do we get up and go in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord? And sometimes because we feel embarrassed or we just feel uncomfortable. And the truth is there's nothing to be embarrassed or uncomfortable about. Now, what happens when we don't do what the Lord is calling us to do? When we feel in our heart this urging to tell them about Jesus or to invite them to church? What happens when we don't do this? Well, in Jonah's case, we saw that the Lord sent a storm on the sea to essentially get a hold of his attention. And sometimes the Lord sends things in our lives to get a hold of our attention, to cause us to stop and think, what am I doing with my life? What am I accomplishing? Where am I going? What is it that God wants me to do? Not what I want to do, but what does he want me to do? And so sometimes God sends things in our life to get a hold of our attention. And maybe right now this morning, that's where you find yourself, in the midst of a storm. Maybe there's a storm in your life right now, some things going on in your family or at your workplace or at your school that you're just struggling with right now. In the midst of a storm, why are you in that storm? Well, could be for several reasons, but one of them could be because you haven't been doing what the Lord has called you to do. What has he called you to do? Well, to tell the people you see every day about him. To tell the people you see every day about him. That is our mission. And when Jesus died and rose again the third day, he gave us what is known as the Great Commission at the end of Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples, people who will follow me. Tell people about me. That's essentially what Jesus said. And so are we telling the people we see every day about Jesus? And if not, why? Because more than likely, the people you see at school, the kids you see at school, or the people you see at work, they're in a storm. They're in a storm. We're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or we're about to enter a storm. That's kind of the three phases of life that we all kind of go through. We're either about to enter a storm, in one, or coming out of one. And more than likely, someone in your life right now, in your sphere of influence, is in a storm, and they need Jesus. Why? Because they're drowning. They're drowning. And so often I get so focused on myself and my issues that I lose sight of the people around me and what's going on around me and what God has called me to do. And so there are people in your life that God has called you And so what essentially we want to do as Christians is tell them that Jesus is the only one who can save them. The sailors didn't know about the Lord, but Jonah did. Jonah knew about the Lord. What did Jonah have to say about the Lord? Jonah said, "The Lord, the God of..." I'll just set this off so we... the result. The sailors offered a sacrifice to the Lord and vowed to serve him. Well, what happened to Jonah? Let's kind of jump right in here to chapter 2 as we continue on in our story. Jonah chapter 1 verse 17, kind of backtracking just a little bit. Jonah says this in verse 17. And now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. What is it I want you to notice here? The Lord was gracious to Jonah. The Lord was gracious to Jonah in allowing this fish to essentially swallow him. Maybe right now you feel swallowed up by some things in your life, taken in by those things. And the Lord right now is being gracious to you, in allowing you to kind of take a pause and think about this thing that you're in right now. Why are you in this thing right now, in this storm? It's so that you can reflect on what the Lord is wanting to say to you and do in your life. So the Lord was gracious to Jonah, just as he is gracious to you and me. He's like the gardener. The Lord is like the gardener, who always gives us one more chance to bear some fruit. Do you remember the story that Jesus told about the barren fig tree? Let's look here in Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, "I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taken up space in the garden." The gardener answered, Give it one more chance. Leave it another year and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down." Jonah wasn't bearing any fruit. Remember, he got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Nevertheless, the Lord gave Jonah another opportunity to bear some fruit, to tell his neighbors about the Lord. Did Jonah take advantage of this opportunity? Yes. What did Jonah do during this time that he was in this storm inside of this fish? He prayed to the Lord. Right? And if you're struggling right now, or you're down, or depressed, or discouraged, this is really a time to cry out to the Lord. Maybe open the book of Psalms, spend some time and just read them, and pour out your heart to the Lord, because that's essentially what David did. And so that's what Jonah does here. He prays. What does he pray? Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. He said, "I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, 'Oh Lord, you have driven me from your presence. yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. Why did Jonah pray? Why did he pray? Because the Lord had driven him from his presence. Why did the Lord do this? Why did the Lord drive Jonah from his presence? Because Jonah didn't obey the word of the Lord. The Lord gave him a command, but Jonah didn't obey the word of the Lord. What's our problem today? Do you want to know what our problem is today? Our problem today is we don't obey the word of the Lord. We don't obey the word of the Lord. Why? Because most people aren't in the word of the Lord. Most people aren't in the Bible and reading it, so they're not even aware of what the word of the Lord says. There's no substitute to spending quality time alone with Jesus every day in his word. Jesus, when he was battling or essentially talking to Satan, Matthew 4:4 said this, but Jesus told him, that is Satan, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word of God is one of our core values here. In this series, we've been talking about a few things. We've been talking about our vision. What's our vision here? To create a place where everyone is known and loved. When you come in here, it's important to me and it's important to us as a church that we recognize you. We try to connect with you. We want you to know that we appreciate you being here, taking time out of your life to come here, that you are known, and we want to do our best to extend love to you. What's our mission? Our mission is to create, to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. We have no other agenda than to give you the tools and the resources to help you do that. And today we're talking about some of our core values, and we'll do that the next 2 weeks as we wrap up this series. So the Word of God is our core value, and it's really our foundation. What's the second reason that we're not obeying the word of the Lord? The first was because sometimes we're not in the word of the Lord. We're not reading it, so we're not even aware of what it says. The second is sometimes we just don't want to. What's the second reason we're not obeying the word of the Lord? Second, because sometimes we just don't want to. Let's be honest, right? We just don't want to do it. Jonah didn't want to do it. He didn't want to go tell these people about the Lord. And sometimes neither do we. What did Jesus have to say happens when we choose not to obey his word? What happens when we choose not to obey his word? What did Jesus say? He said, our life or our house will come crashing down. He says this here in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Jonah's life had come crashing down. Just how far down did he sink? He said, to the very roots of the mountains. What did he feel like? He said he felt like he was imprisoned in the earth. Maybe that's how you feel today. You feel imprisoned in your situation. Who did he believe could snatch him from the jaws of death? Who did he believe could get him out of the mess that he was in? Only the Lord his God. Continuing on in verses 5 and 7, Jonah 2. He says, I sank beneath the waves. The waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth. whose gates lock shut forever. But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. And as my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. In my earnest prayer, went out to you in your holy temple. Do you ever feel like your life is slipping away? I do. And there are many times I think, what am I doing? What is it that I'm accomplishing? Am I the only one who feels this way? No, Solomon felt this way. My favorite book in the Bible is Ecclesiastes, and Solomon said this in chapter 2, verse 22. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. Maybe your mind's been spinning lately at night, and you've been unable to sleep because of everything that you have going on. That's what Solomon says here. It is all meaningless. If I know that what I'm doing is meaningless, then why do I keep on doing it? If I know that there are some things in my life that really don't matter, and yet I keep on doing them, why am I doing that? I think sometimes because I'm still trying to hang on to my life. Do you remember what Jesus had to say about trying to hang on to our life? He said this in Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Well, what is it the Lord has called us to do? What has the Lord called us to do? Invest in people's souls. Why? Because nothing is worth more than someone's soul. We saw in this opening video these young guys in high school, and their primary and chief concern was their friend named Sonny and his salvation. And you saw the great joy that when they prayed for him and a spot opened up for him to go to camp, how excited they were. Those are the things that really matter in life, and I think sometimes we kind of lose focus of that. So what is it we have to do if we're going to invest in someone's soul? Well, we have to be both hungry and available. Why? Because you can't have one without the other. Hungry and available is one of our core values here. Sometimes people are hungry for the Lord, but they're just not available. They just have too much going on in their life and too busy of a schedule to allow for time with the Lord and time for other people. Sometimes people are available, but they're not really hungry for the Lord. They don't have a real interest in spiritual things. But someone who's hungry and available, oh man, that person can do great things for the Lord. Well, Jonah at this point in his life, at this time, at this moment, before this storm, he was neither. It's funny how when we get in the storm, all of a sudden we kind of straighten up, we get serious about the Lord, right? When something bad happens to us, all of a sudden we're coming to church, we're reading our Bible, we're very interested in what the preacher has to say. All of us do that. And so before this started, Jonah was really neither. He wasn't hungry, and he was to do God's will, and he wasn't available. He got up and went in the opposite direction. What was Jonah? Jonah was someone who worshipped false gods. Well, what do we know about someone who worships a false god? And they turn their back on all of God's mercies. It says here in Jonah 2:8, those who worship false gods turn their backs on all of God's mercies. Are you someone who worships a false god? Well, how do you know if you are? You know it when that person or that thing in your life is all you think about. It could be the guy or the girl, the relationship that's just constantly turning over in your mind and in your heart. It could be the sport that you're in 7 days a week that you constantly think about and obsess about. It could be your job that you're glued to all the time. It seems like I'm always battling some type of false god in my life. Now why? Because there's always something that I'm obsessed and consumed with. I believe if I can just get it, solve it, or fix it, then I'll be happy. And the truth is, I'm never happy. Why? Because as soon as I get it, solve it, or fix it, I move on to the next thing. This week, you may remember our little four-year-old Eden smashed one of our iPhones about 8 or 9 months ago, and so I was waiting for the new iPhone to come out, and someone graciously gave me their iPhone 7. So I thought, wow, I'm going to go from an iPhone 7 to an iPhone 14. This is going to be like heaven. I don't know what this phone's going to do for me, but 7 years later, this is really going to be great. So I got the new iPhone 14 Pro this week, and after about 20 minutes, I said to Monica, my wife, maybe I should have got the Max. Right? I believed I needed something more than what I had, and what I had before was so old, but it just kind of left me empty. I got it. Right? I got what I wanted. I solved it. I fixed the problem. But I wasn't really happy. Maybe that's where you find yourself today, in a perpetual state of emptiness. Maybe you feel empty. If you're like me, what is it you need to do? Well, you and me need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Because only Jesus can satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. Only He can fulfill that void and that emptiness that we feel. A spirit of humility is one of our core values here. When we reach the end of our rope and say, you know what? Jesus, you're all I need. I don't need the things of this world to fulfill me, complete me, or satisfy me. Because as soon as I go after them and get them, I realize that I'm not really happy. So what I need is you. Did Jonah humble himself before the Lord? Yes. Let's read on, verse 9. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Who is the only one who can save us from ourselves? I need someone to save me from myself. It's Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can save us from ourselves. What does He require of us? Well, Micah 6:8 says this. This is what He requires of you. To do what is right and to walk humbly, right? To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Are you doing what's right? What does someone who is doing what's right do? Well, they love their neighbor as themselves. Right now, you may be saying, I have too many neighbors. Well, then pick one and do for the one what you can't do for the many. So often we think, well, this is overwhelming. I don't know where to start, how to share my faith. Who's the one person in your life that you would like to see come to know the Lord, that you would like to see come to know Jesus? Man, if this person came to the Lord, it would just excite you more than anything. For me, in college at Michigan State, it was one of my best friends, Chuck. Chuck was someone that I, in the summer, worked at a golf and country club with, mowing fairways, and we lifted weights together, and we just hung out. And when the school year started, I kind of grew apart from Chuck as he was doing his thing, and I was doing my thing at Michigan State, and I just thought, I would like to see Chuck come to know the Lord. And so I prayed every day for Chuck. I prayed, Lord, help Chuck. That's all I prayed. I help him, give him a desire for you. And one day Chuck called me up and he said, you know, I don't know what it is, but I would like to go to church with you. And I said, well, that would be great. Well, I graduated college a little early because I'm so smart. And afterward, the campus pastor that I was involved with on campus there at Michigan State, his name was Dean. I said, Dean, can you go visit my friend Chuck at his fraternity house where he lives? And he's interested in church, and he's come with me once or twice. And I think he's going to give his heart and his life to the Lord. I think it's just a matter of time. And so the campus pastor went to that fraternity house and started a Bible study with a bunch of guys there at that fraternity. And a number of them started going to church, and a few of them, and Chuck got saved. It was just amazing when I think about that. So when I see this video here about these boys praying for their friend Sonny, who is it in your life, that person, that you would like to see come to know the Lord? Maybe it's a family. Spend time with them. Get to know them. Right? Do you love mercy? What is required of us to love mercy, to do what is right, and to walk humbly with our God? What does someone who loves mercy do? Well, they tell others about Jesus. Why? Because telling others about Jesus is the most compassionate thing you can do. How can we as a church demonstrate mercy? Well, we can start by giving someone a freezer meal. Right? That can open up a door. When someone's hurting, or when someone's in a storm and we bring them a meal, or when we give to Operation Christmas Child a gift to a child around the world that doesn't have anything and doesn't know about the Lord, doesn't know about Jesus, when we do something in Jesus' name, it makes an eternal difference. And that's what we want to do. We want to send our treasure on ahead. Well, Jesus said this in Matthew 25:35 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it for the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are doing it to me. Lastly, what happens when we walk humbly with our God? What happens when we say, you know what, Lord, I am dependent upon you. I've lived too long independent of you. And I recognize and realize my need for you. It took Jonah being inside a fish to say, Lord, I need you. I cannot survive in this world anymore without you. There are storms all around me, and I have nowhere else to go. I'm stuck. He humbled himself before the Lord, and maybe that's where you're at today. You're kind of stuck, and you need to cry out to the Lord and humble yourself before him. And say, Lord, I need you because I believe you're the only one who can deliver me out of this mess that I'm in. What happens when we walk humbly with the Lord and acknowledge that we need him above all else? The same thing that happened to Jonah. The Lord gives the order and we're delivered from the mess that we're in. Last verse here, Jonah 2:10. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Maybe this morning you feel like you've been chewed up and spit out by the things that have happened in your life, and you're looking for a fresh start. Well, I want you to know the Lord can give you that start.
But it has to start with you. You have to say, you know what? I've had enough of the life that I'm living, and I want a better life. Jesus can give you a better life. The thief, that is Satan, only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He's come so that you and me may have a better life. Satan promises us a false God and a false life when we go after the things of this world, which only leave us empty and unfulfilled. And so if you're here today and you say, hey, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I know something's missing in my heart and in my life. Then we're going to give you the opportunity to pray and to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I don't know that I'm telling people about Jesus. I don't know that I've singled out or picked out one person in my family or at my job or at my school that I'm really focused on, that Sonny or your friend Chuck, like you said. But I'm going to pick someone today. I'm going to ask God who it is. Maybe you already have that person in your heart or mind. It's a person you see every day. They're lost. They're in a storm. They're drowning, and they need someone to save them. And the only reason you don't know about it is because you haven't talked to them, but they're willing to open up and share if you just start that conversation. So I'm going to pray that God would give you and me the boldness to start that conversation and to pick that one person that we could just start to focus on. Because if we all focus on one person or one family, you know what would happen? Our church would double. That's what would happen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's powerful and it's convicting. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, Ed, I'm in a storm. I feel like things right now in my life are unsettled. I feel like I have no direction and that I'm lost. And I need Jesus because I've been swallowed up by life, and I want a better life. If that's you, then I want to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I don't think I'm doing what God has called me to do. I've become so obsessed and consumed with certain areas of my life that I've really lost focus of what matters and what's important. And I feel like the Lord is trying to get me to slow down and get a hold of my attention before I get myself in more with what I'm doing. Would you pray for me? Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for myself and I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that you would help us to focus on investing in people's souls, that we may put you first and spend time with you in your word, that we would renew our minds, and that you would give us a hunger and make us available to do what you've called us to do, and that as we humbly walk with you and depend on you, that we may see the person or family that you have placed in our life that you want us to spend time with and get to know better. Because there's nothing worth more than investing in someone's soul. May we not run from people, Lord Jesus, but may we run to people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.